Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. This is a day that the Most High has made, the great I Am. I Am by Hashem, Yeshua HaMashiach, has made this day. And he's given us this day to rest. I want to thank all of you for tuning in, but let's go before our Father in prayer before we have any other words, salutations. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I pray for my brothers and sisters throughout the four corners of the earth in the scattered diaspora that they are encouraged and strengthened, and that whatever they're going into, in the middle of, or coming through, that you will let them know that you're walking with them and that there's nothing that they can't overcome. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you delivereth us from all of them. So we pray for that deliverance. We pray for a fresh endowment of your Holy Spirit, just as you breathed upon Ezekiel, and how when you touched us and stood us up, you would always breathe into us a new spirit. May you do that for my brothers and sisters that are going through, and may we prepare our times and stay focused on you and not focused on the times. Focused on you and your word, your commandments, your statutes, and your laws in the spirit of humility. We'll give your name all the praise, honor, and glory, and in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach we pray. Jesus Christ, amen. Brothers and sisters, I am Elder V. This is Blueprint for Life, and it's good to be back with you. It's been a while, and I thank the Father for him being an overcomer for us and setting an example. But before I go any further, I want to thank Brother Ray for how he's done the show and how he stuck in there and did the show. And so all salutations to him, doing a wonderful job teaching this word. As you know, on the Shabbat, we like to just focus on the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. There's a lot going on around us, and we could easily focus in on Bible prophecy and try to wow you and woe you on today, but I prefer to encourage you today and let you know that these commandments and laws are what's going to keep you and help you make it through. So stick around, hang in there with us. If you hang in there with us for the whole show, I might sing a song at the end of the show. All praises to the Most High. And let me say something to you. Let me encourage you that I was thinking about just now how our patriarch forefather, Jacob, before he came into his prominence and where he was getting ready to go with his destiny and become Israel, wrestled with an angel for an entire night. And after that angel got through with him, he touched him in the hollow of his thigh. And that was a mark that was on him for the rest of his entire life. Jacob had to deal with that limp that he had. It was a memory of the wrestling of him, wrestling in the flesh, wrestling in the spirit, wrestling with his destiny, wrestling with where he needed to go. But he had something that he would always remember before he came into the place of initiating and being the progenitor of the 12 tribes of Israel, which we belong to. He had to go through something in order to birth something and move into his destiny and prominence. So I encourage you today that if you're wrestling, or if you have already wrestled, or if you feel that you're down because you went through some things that you had to wrestle with and it's left you marked, be encouraged by that this morning and know that you can come out of that and there's got to be something more in store for you. There is something more in store for you. But after you've done all you can to stand, you've got to stand anyway. As I said in the prayer, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. Now, normally, when I get into the laws, I'm not going to be long-winded today. I talk about some of the old Levitical laws. There were over 613 that I like to talk about from time to time. And the 613 laws, some are applicable to us now, and many of them aren't. They don't even apply. But we like to, on this platform, in this lesson, Blueprint for Life, show you how these laws are still relevant in society today. And if we live out through these laws as a blueprint for our lives, we can live a blessed, Kodesh set apart life. We can have a better life, a healthy life. For instance, dietary laws about what to eat. Certain people are not, let me say it to you, Hebrews, your body genetic makeup is not even made to eat shellfish and swine's flesh because of the way the Father created you. So you're more genetically predisposed to be adapt to diabetes, high blood pressure, all types of diseases. The doctors know this, but they won't tell you this. They prefer to give you more medicine, more pills to increase the financial gain of the pharmaceutical industry. But genetically, you are not made to eat these particular things. And these are laws written of. And people say that the law was done away with. Well, you know, here we don't believe that the law was done away with. I don't serve a God that wrote over 613 laws for a people that all of a sudden said, I was just kidding, y'all can do what y'all want and eat whatever you want. That would mean he changed us genetically, changed what we're supposed to eat. And I think there's just totally a misconception of what happened with Apostle Peter when he said, rise, slay, and eat. You need to read the entire context of the chapter and understand that he's preparing them for what would transpire with the Gentiles coming in, because everything was given unto the Hebrews prior to that. And the Gentiles weren't even being preached to yet until Paul's dispensation came. So this wasn't even open to the Gentiles. Christ was talking to the Hebrews and the Hebrews only. And he made that clear. I came for the lost sheep of Jacob. See, that's what I'm here. And he was pretty harsh sometimes about it, because he would say, listen, I didn't, people that were on the outside that would come to hear his words or be blessed by him or pray for him, he was like, you know, he called them dogs and vipers and snakes and said that, you know, this meat is not for you. And they would tell him that even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the viper's table. The centurion soldier would come and ask him to pray. And he wasn't really inclined to go and do these things because he was on a mission. But he said, because you have faith, when you get home, your daughter's going to be made whole. So I'm going off to say all those things, going back to the laws, that everything that was given to you as Hebrews who keep the commandments and laws were meant to give you a blessed and Kodesh life. You have something there? Okay. To give you a blessed and Kodesh life. But today, I'm not going to get into, I guess I've already gotten into a bit of the lesson on the laws, but I wanted to talk about idolatry. So can we get scripture on idolatry in the Ten Commandments? I'm going to stick with the Ten today, and I'm only going to single out one from the Ten as far as idols. Mm-hmm.
Exodus chapter 20, start with verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, but I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers unto the children, from the children until the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
So this is what gets me, is how can you walk into a Catholic church and not observe this scripture right here? There's a barrage of idols. The moment you walk in the door, it's almost scary. It's like walking into a haunted house or a museum where they've got this large image of Christ still on the cross, bleeding and hanging. Well, that's actually Caesar Borgia. And then you've got all these busts and these candles and these ornaments and this creepy music and the organ music. And it's surreal. And some people want to say it's ceremonious, or that the Father's involved in that. That has nothing to do with the Father. It's ridiculous. And then on top of that, you've got people that think that fish represents Christianity on the back of a bumper sticker or anything like that. The Father is saying nothing in the air, birds, eagles, nothing in the sea, fish, whales. We're not supposed to have any of these things and look at them and say, oh, this is beautiful. This was made by Mother Nature. This is God's creation. That's how we play it off. And we say, this is something that he made. It's a wonderful thing. And we start to idolize it. Many of us have statues and images in our house. And some of you just love whatever, I don't know, elephants, dog statues, angel statues all over the house, and people begin to worship. This scripture is making it clear that we're not supposed to have any of these idols in our house. And this is the thing This is the thing that people need to understand. For the life of me, I never understood why everyone wants to wear a gold cross. And with the gold cross, they want to wear a gold cross with the image of Christ on it. Let me let you understand that the whole purpose of the Roman Catholic Church to put that cross out there and have Christ remain on that cross is because it has a psychological effect. It has an effect on your psyche, and this is the way they put it. I wish I had the exact article. They wanted you to see that image of Christ on that cross so that you would know that if this is what we did to the best of you, think about what we can do to you. They say this is what we did to the best of them. This is the best that you have. This is the Son of God. Well, we killed him, we hung him. And we as Hebrew folks walk around with these crosses with Christ on it. Some folks, I just want to snatch it off when I see it. I just want to snatch it off. You are reinforcing the message that they want to send to society to keep society in check, to understand and remember that we crucified him. They don't want you to think he was risen. They want you to know that we destroyed him, we killed him. So what you're wearing is a symbol of a crucifixion, a death, a killing. And so it just shouldn't happen. It just shouldn't be. I just don't understand why somebody would have an image of Christ on the cross and wear it and call that jewelry. But what you're doing is you're idolizing something. You're wearing an image. But on top of that, you're helping to pass on a message that these Khazarians and Illuminatis and the Romans and the Greeks wanted you to know that we won. We got him. But the message is that the Shah HaMashiach, Christ, has risen and he is not on that cross. And we don't need to wear an electric chair or a symbol of crucifixion to show our allegiance to the Most High. Scripture makes it clear in Psalms 119 that the keeping of these commandments, let me see if I can find it. Turn to Psalms 119 real quick. Okay. Let's see, bear with me. Many of you already know the scripture that I'm looking for, that how these laws and statutes change us. Go ahead. Read that one. Read verse 4 first.
Psalms 119, verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes.
Mm-hmm.
Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
All of 119, as you see, talks about keeping the precepts, but converteth the heart and the soul. Keeping this law converteth the heart and the soul. You want to show an allegiance, keep these commandments and laws, and let it convert you, and let it convert your heart, and let it convert your soul. Read that.
Psalms 119, verse 33, it says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy laws. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 35, make me to go into the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight.
All praises to the Most High. So we want to understand that we should have no other gods before him. Your home, your car, your degree, your children, your 80-inch television, whatever it may be, your lifestyle, nothing should be before the Most High. the great Ahayah Ashar Ahayah. Nothing goes before him. So that takes a place of humility. So understanding the process, sometimes you may lose those things and you may lose friends. You may lose a lot of stuff if you desire to draw closer to him. We have to learn to put things in perspective. So a lot of times people read the 10, memorize the 10, but don't live the 10. And that's why sometimes I come out of the 613 and just go straight back to the 10, because people are finding it hard enough to keep the 10. People can't keep the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That means this day, well, actually from Friday sundown till tonight sundown, and then when it says keep it holy, that means you abstain. Brothers and sisters, we're not supposed to be cooking on the Sabbath day and lighting fires on the Sabbath day. We're not supposed to be going to seek our own pleasure on the Sabbath day. We're not supposed to be, well, what is the other thing? Working, if you have to work. We're in captivity, we understand, but he said, cease from working, you should rest. The way your body is made, by the time you get to the seventh day, you are tired. By the time you get to the seventh day, I know when I get to Saturday, I am tired. By the time I get to the seventh day, I am already tired. And the Father wants me to have this day to relax and to rest. All praises to the Most High. When I come back, we're going to go into the book of Ezekiel. Some people are celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. Some people are going into the Feast of Trumpets. Wherever you may be, may the Most High prepare you for the Feast of Trumpets and have you ready for the Feast of Trumpets. We'll be right back with the book of Ezekiel.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be out, it will be out. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
Heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition enough. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be out, it will be out. Oh, one day, when the war is won, the war is not over, victory is in one.
woman and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. The enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes,
welcome back. It seems like we're having a lot of technical difficulties, so we want to apologize for that. Give me one second to make sure that everything is right. Okay, there we go. I think we're back on the air now. Let me apologize for that, brothers and sisters. We were booted out. Just had to call back in. Well, we had Brother Ray for a minute. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go into the lesson in Ezekiel. It seems like we're going through a lot of things in our modern times, but as I stated earlier in the show, that it's important for us to keep our focus on the Most High, His statutes, commandments, and laws, and not lose sight of what he wants us to do. More importantly, I think that we lose sight of what our responsibility is. When the Most High said this in Ezekiel's second chapter, let me read this verse. He made it clear to Ezekiel. He said, "And thou, son of man," Ezekiel 2 and 6, "and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them," in reference to the house of Israel, because he was sending them to Israel to deal with them. He said, "Neither be afraid of their words through briars or and thorns, be with thee. And thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." We know that is Israel. We quick to give somebody a look to try to intimidate people. And we had to let Ezekiel know not to be afraid of that. Listen to verse 7. "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious." Verse 8, "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I have given thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woes."
and continue reading. Give me 1 second. I'm looking for other passages before we get into verse 7, because we're going to do this lesson out of verse 7. Listen to Ezekiel 3 and 18. He said, when I say unto the wicked, first let me read 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked that they shall surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. This is important for us to listen to as being Israel dealing with other Israelites about their sins, their complacency, and their, compromising, their way of compromising. A lot of Israel were struggling because we're in captivity, so we have a tendency to hop over the fence, leap the fence, to go back and forth, and because we can't make up our minds. Many of us are watchmen, and the mandate is upon us to tell the truth. A lot of us have blood on our hands because we allow people to continue in their sin. We don't even realize the seriousness of the responsibility, and this part is making it very clear. Let's go to verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness. See, this is where you do your job, and don't worry about how he receives it. Let me continue. Nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. The Father uses us in the process of the judgment that's going to befall a person when they leave this earth, because no man will be able to stand before the Most High and say, I did not hear a warning. I did not hear the truth. Nobody told me. He's using us to be able to go to them and let them know. He shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Do you know how important that is? He said that you've delivered your own soul. You brought deliverance to yourself by warning somebody else of their death and things that may come upon them. Verse 20, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block, that means, you know, when you backslide and the Father gives you something that's definitely going to take you out before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at your hand. I should be just talking about this because this is powerful. What he's saying is you could have a great man who led one of these camps, churches, or just healed the sick, saved so many people, but he was in sin. And you just blinked an eye at it because of who he was being the leader. The Father is saying that when he stands before me, I'm not going to remember a thing that he's done. And you also failed to warn him when he did it. That's those chummy, chummy buddy buddies. Am I my brother's keeper? That's what I need to say. Yes. But sometimes we show respect to persons when it's somebody that we're cool with. But this is so powerful that they may be a great person that has built a great ministry, but all of that will be just deleted. And you're going to be responsible for it as well. Let me read the next one. Verse 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, he doth not sin. He shall surely live because he has been warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. I'm saying all this to go into verse 7 to do a segue. Chapter 7, to let you know the seriousness of the house of Israel to the house of Israel and to our people and even to those caught up into Christianity. You can no longer idly stand by. Now, I am in agreement that we need to stop having these debates about doctrinal issues, the name and the words. That's foolishness because it's going to be dealt with. That we don't need to, like, check them on. But if they are in a sin, or if they are aligning themselves up with a God or something that is outside of the Most High that will take them to hell, we have a responsibility. But in this last hour and in this dark day, those of you that have been delivered, that have been shown grace, that have gone through like Jacob, that have been able to stand, that keep these commandments and laws, you have a responsibility. And guess what? That's just coming to my mind. When you're not doing it, you're setting yourself up for failure. And if you wonder why you're always going through and struggling, it's because you're not ministering. I guess I just slapped myself upside the head. That's just the way it is. When you fall complacent, you set yourself up for destruction. Your victory lies in maintaining the thankfulness for what the Father has brought you out of with diligence. Before I go to chapter 7, let's see. Shabbat shalom, Brother Ray.
Shalom. How you doing, brother? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. We had some serious technical difficulties, but we got back on the air. But I seen you out there, so I just want to say shalom and thank you again for last week.
I didn't do anything, but shalom, brother. It might be a little echo where I'm at, so I hope it isn't distorted too much. But it's good to hear you. Very few of us Israelis even proclaiming our Father's Sabbath day, and I hear you're teaching, probably actually teaching to Israel, so that's important as well, you know. So now the ministry must go on, and we're supposed to do the same thing that Yeshua did when he was on the earth, so keep going. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard everything you said. And I said I appreciate it. And most high willing, we're looking forward to getting down there in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, just love on you and your family, all right?
I like that. All right, brother.
All right, I'm going to get back on to chapter 7. Shalom.
All right.
Okay. All right, brothers and sisters, if you're still with me, Ezekiel chapter 7. Precedence, the prior part that we set up is why it's so important, because of the dark day we're living in. But we're not going to focus on that dark day. We're going to focus on the commandments and laws, which we already taught a little bit of. And now we're going to go into chapter 7 so we can see the prophetic events that were spoken of to Ezekiel that are applicable to right now, in this time that we live in. Let's read Ezekiel, the 7th chapter.
Ezekiel chapter 7. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, and in the end is come upon the four corners of the land.
The end is come upon the four corners of the earth. Never have I seen a time like this where people turn a day of death, 9/11, into a holiday and a celebration. The spirit is so thick in the air from yesterday where people were. Well, we know there's been an arsenal of demons unleashed upon the earth because there was an atmosphere of hurriedness, anxiety, party, rushedness. They were able to convert the minds of the people into believing that 9/11 has now become an official holiday almost parallel with their 4th of July. Never have I seen so many cars, people out going to the stores, buying party food, party gifts, drink, wine. Where you meeting at? Where you going? And it was on a Friday, too, so 9/11 is the new day. It's the dark day, and this is the dark day that has come upon us, but I want to talk to the house of Israel, because this is prophecy of a pending judgment that we're reading about. Go ahead.
Verse 3. Now is the end come upon thee, and I will send my anger unto thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will compass unto thee all thine abominations.
Israel, this is what's coming. As we're moving into the end, and I say we are in the end, that even so, we're finding our people are moving into more and more abominations, because people are looking for something to soothe their conscience and to soothe their mind. Anything but the commandments. That's too restrictive. I'm trying to kick it out here. I don't need that discipline. Don't tell me not to eat my pork, shrimp, crab. As a matter of fact, I'm going to this party down the street. But this is the end time, brothers and sisters. If there's ever been a time like never before to buckle down, now is the time, because some people are going to find themselves getting caught out there with their pants down and never being able to come back. Have you ever wondered why you see a man walking down the street and he's talking to himself and he lost his mind? Do you know he didn't start out that way? But there was an event and an episode that transpired that got him caught in that dimension, and he can't get himself back? These are the things that we play with, and these are the things we should be warning people about so that they don't get into that area. Let's continue reading.
Chapter 7, verse 4, and mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity. But I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thy abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
Ye shall know that I am high up. But listen to this. Everybody thinks when the dark day comes that the Most High is going to have pity and grace. No pity, no grace. Even more importantly, so many of us are so cocky and arrogant, we think we're going to make it. And we are barely going to make it. It's like they say getting a camel through a needle's eye. Some of us are so self-righteous that we think because they're keeping these commandments, we know some Hebrew, something like that, that we're going to make it through. It's going to be so hard to make it through that dark day that we should not even be self-righteous. We should be checking ourselves. And the way we check ourselves is through forgiveness. Like I say, I appreciate my brother because we check each other, and we'll have each other to talk to. You know, and we have things that when we go through, and you should have this and establish that. That's why Israel needs Israel. We need each other. Confess your faults one to another so that you can be forgiven for your sins. You've got to let the Father know that you're trying and that you made a mistake. I love David. Every time David sinned, he took off his royal king clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes and started fasting, didn't eat, didn't even come out. He was like, man, I'm done. With kingship. And the Father said, this is the apple of my eye. This man knew how to repent. And as a matter of fact, he had become too good at it. So he ended up, you know, dying in a worse way. But nevertheless, stop thinking that you're going to make it through that day because you know I keep the commandments. I try to keep the Shabbat. Man, but, you know, do you have forgiveness in your heart? Do you have love in your heart? Have you forgiven your parents? Have you forgiven spouse? Have you forgiven your children? Have you forgiven your coworkers? Have you forgiven your neighbor? Have you forgiven the person on the freeway that you had road rage against? All that stuff. Anything can happen. This dark day, he's not going to have pity. He just said it right here. I'm not showing no mercy, no pity. Go ahead.
Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God, and evil and only evil, behold, is come.
He's getting ready to unleash an evil. Let's go.
And in the end, an end is come. The end is come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come.
It watches for thee. That means, let me see what it watches for thee. And it's going to come. And I check myself because I don't think I'm worthy. Everything we do is being recorded. And that's what's going to determine that level. So we have to watch out because it's all on some type of DVR with the Most High. He said, I'm not going to have no pity. You got to, only thing we can do is try to find ourselves worthy. That's all we can do. This is a long chapter, and I'm cutting you off. I'm going to let you get through it. But everything I see needs to be discussed. Go ahead.
Chapter 7, verse 6. And an end is come. The end is come. It watches for thee. Behold, it is come. Verse 7. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come. The day of trouble is near. And not the sounding again of the mountains. Verse 8. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee.
Shortly. He's getting ready to unleash it. Go ahead.
And accomplish mine anger upon thee.
He's going to finish out these commandments and what us commandments in Deuteronomy 28. Before he releases us from our captivity, he's going to make sure he gets rid of his anger. He's going to let us have it. Go ahead.
And I will judge thee accordingly to thy ways and will recompense thee for all thine abominations.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity.
Oh, no, he will give us a second chance at that time.
I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thy abominations that are in the midst of thee,
and ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth.
He's going to make sure everybody knows who he is and who did it. And he said, I shall not spare thee. There be no pity. The Most High is not going to have a pity party. He's giving you the time now. And I have the onus is upon me and you to check. We're supposed to check each other. You know that ain't right. We're supposed to be checking each other. Because there be no checking when the time comes. When it's over, it's over. It's over. You know how you watch a good movie and it's so good and then the credits roll up. You want to stay in that moment. But it's over. Get out the theater. You don't get a second chance at the Most High. Go ahead. Verse 10.
Behold the day. Behold, it is come. The morning is gone forth. The rod hath blossomed. Pride hath budded. Verse 11. Violence is risen upon a up unto a rod of wickedness.
So that you understand the rod that has blossomed, violence is risen up unto a rod of wickedness.
None of them shall remain, nor are there multitude, nor of any of theirs, neither shall there be wailing for them. Verse 12. The time is come, the day draweth near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the sailor mourn. For wrath is upon all the multitude thereof.
Everybody's going to get it. The rich man, the poor man, the one that's going to Neiman Marcus, the one that's selling at Neiman Marcus. Everybody's got to have the latest gadget. All y'all that's just in your folly right now, it's going to come just like that. Violence will be risen. He will not be playing. The time will come. Go ahead.
Verse 13, for the sailor shall not return to that which is sold, although they were yet alive. For the vision is touching the whole multitude thereof, which shall not return, neither shall any strengthen himself in the iniquity of his life. Verse 14, they have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready, but none goeth to battle. For my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof.
Everybody knows. Armies, wars, people will prepare to try to fight against the Most High. You got nations that are already assembling. Man has become so cocky with his weapons, his weaponry, and his serving of Satan, and Satan promising him a kingdom. He really thinks he's going to be able to fight against the Most High. What do you think NASA was all about? It's about Isaiah the 14th, where Satan said, I will ascend into the heavens. They have used the people to help them build NASA. They have used the people to help them build their countries. Now they don't need us no more. All countries and nations are arrogant, proud, and think they're prepared to fight Christ and the Father when he comes back because of all their technology that Satan and his angels gave them. Tomfoolery is what it's going to be because most people will not even go to battle when they see what is taking place. Go ahead. Verse 15.
The sword is without, and the pestilence, and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him.
He that is in the field that's preparing to fight, they're going to be destroyed. Those in the land, sickness, pestilence. Go ahead.
Verse 16. But they that escape of them shall escape and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of their mourning, everyone.
You got to hope that you're one of those people, but what we just got to be talking about, you may not even escape this. You may not escape these bombs. This whole world has got nuclear bombs. All these countries have nuclear bombs. They're going to start dropping these bombs. Do you know radiation is going to destroy the air and the food and the cattle, and there'll be nothing whole? Now, we already read somewhere where the Father said, I think that was in Psalms. I don't know when we read it, that he said, I'm going to take care of my people in the midst of this, during this time. Psalms 37, we read that was last night, that he'll take care of his people in the midst of famine. So, yeah, it may be sounding like fear, But you don't even know if you're going to be one of his people if you're not living right. It's a straight and narrow. So there's a few people right here that are escaping. The vision I have, imagine this with me in the vision. Just a remnant of people being taken to a certain little refuge while the whole world is falling apart. Bombs, fire, destruction, famine, pestilence, no food, just turmoil, shooting, killing, just people just going crazy on each other, demon spirits unleashed in people, and a few escape and make it to the mountain. Now look what happens to the ones that make it to the mountain.
Verse 17, all hands shall be feeble and all knees shall be weak.
Wait, go back to 16.
I'm sorry, verse 16. But they that escape of them shall escape and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valley, all of them mourning, everyone for his iniquity.
Everyone that even makes it up, they're going to be still crying for the things that they did, feeling not even worthy. Go ahead.
Verse 17. And hands shall be feeble and all knees shall be weak as water. Verse 18, they shall also grip themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them, and shame shall be upon all faces, and baldness upon all their heads.
Oh, there is a God. There is a Most High God. I'm no longer an atheist. Yeah, all of that's going to take place. Go ahead.
Verse 19, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is a stumbling block of their iniquity.
There will be no more buying your way out. You will not be able to offer the Most High $1 billion. You won't be eating no more filet mignon and satays and drinking some cognac. No, it's done. It's done to not. And you realize at that moment, all I had was nothing and meant nothing. Go ahead.
As for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty. But they made the images of their abominations and of their detestable things therein. Therefore have I set it far from them. Verse 21, and I will give it into the hands of the strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they shall pollute it. Verse 22, my face will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret place, for the robber shall enter into it and defile it. Verse 23, make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 24, wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathens, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the point of the strong to seize, and their holy places shall be defiled.
Can you imagine when it's martial law and there's tanks running up and down the street, bombs dropping, no food, people pilfering through what used to be rich people's houses and stores and looting and everything taking place? We see glimpses of it because they do beta tests on us in different areas. But this is how pathetic you thinking that you've got everything, how it's going to be. Go ahead, let's finish it out.
Verse 25, destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and they shall, and there shall be
none. There'll be no more. There'll be no more. There'll be no more. You that are not helping the meek of the earth, you that are despising the house of Israel, you that are shooting down young black youth in the backs that don't even care or come to their rescue and say that's a sad shame, you that turn your back on those that are without, the day is coming. Go ahead.
Verse 26, mischief shall come upon mischief, rumor shall come upon rumor. Then they shall seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and the counsel from the ancients. 27, in the last verse, the king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after all their way, and according to their dirt will I judge them, and they shall know that I am
the Lord. He's going to make sure that y'all find out who is the Most High, one true God. kings, priests, all the so-called great men, so-called, I don't know who y'all call kings, priests, somebody who owns a big corporation, Bill Gates, or Mark Zuckerberg, or whatever. None of that stuff. Y'all the first ones he's coming for. And you're going to ask for a vision of the Messiah, Christ. You're not going to see that. None of that's going to come your way. Your priests, your temples, everything will be destroyed. Your temple, that means your corporation, all those things. This is a vision of the dark day of the Father, and it needs to be told. And Israel, you need to understand that there will be no pity. Don't think you're going to make it. Don't think because you're saying Kwam Yasara, all that stuff, that you're going to make it. Don't think. None of you need to think you're going to make it. Can you see the vision of how dark this is going to be? We just got to pray that we have forgiveness and that we're prepared and that he'll take us in. I don't want to be so hard on you. Let's read Psalms, the 40th chapter, before we close out, because, yeah, I do want to be hard on you. I want you to recognize this ain't no joke, because you're living an illusion and it's not going to last. And you're going to find out what this is really all about. And that's why I'd like for people to hear these visions that were given. Ezra, in the book of Ezra, the Father showed him a vision of the last day. And he said, I wouldn't want to be alive in that day. He said, I'd ask, take me out. You know, there's a scripture, I can't think of it right now, that says, many will ask for the mountains to fall on them. People will try to kill themselves, and they won't even be able to die. Father will make sure you suffer before he lets you go. And in my mind, it's these people right now that are so arrogant and cocky right now that every year they create themselves a new religion, they worship themselves, they take on a new persona. This world is crazy. And the Father's going to bring all this to naught. We're living in an illusion and we can't get caught up. That's why he told us in Revelation, come out of her, my people, so that you don't receive of her. Let's go to Revelation. We'll stay there. Psalms 40. We'll just read that. We'll read that out. But he said, come out of her so that you don't receive her tribulations and the things that he's going to bring upon her. Just to paraphrase it for right now, you separate yourself from them. Some believe it's physically. Some believe it's spiritually. I'm not here to argue with you. But I am going to tell you, you need to keep these laws. The Father tells you to come out of this country and go somewhere. Let me tell you something. This dark day, you don't think they got it going on over in the UK, Japan, China? This is going on everywhere. Some of y'all don't even know what it looks like in Africa. Africa got some beautiful cities and places to go, and they got the most natural resources. That's why all the countries go there and rob from them. This dark day is coming to every country, region, city, corner. So for the brothers that's saying, hurry up and leave America, yeah, America will be desolate. But there's many other places that will be desolate as well. So don't tell me that a little corner up in some Ukrainian country or in the dark corner of Ethiopia is going to save you. There's no place to hide from the fury and destruction of the Most High when he comes and he gets ready. You can't hide. But you to think, you're so arrogant that because I keep the commandments and I can go over here in this corner, I'm going to be fine. Only he will take his people into the wilderness and protect them. And those are the ones that he picks, because he said he's going to have a remnant. So that remnant, you better pray that you can be a part of that remnant. And the ships will come and pick you up or wherever they're going to take you. And you best believe in those ships, because that's what's going to horrify people to death. When they come from another dimension, people are already seeing glimpses of it now. But you've watched TV for so long, you've been made to believe that science fiction, so you've been pre-programmed to where you can't receive it, and you say you are crazy. No. Not crazy. That's predictive programming. That's what they've done through the movies and science fiction, so that when you hear about it, you refuse to believe it. Read the first chapter of Ezekiel. That is the Discovery Channel. That is the Science Channel. People can't even make sense of that. When Ezekiel say, I saw a flying roll, and I saw a wheel in the wheel. with many eyes, and it had six faces in the front, and it picked me up and swooped. This is the Most High and his ships and his angels. You don't even want to see this stuff or deal with him when he comes. But now I want to take the time to encourage you. We're going to go to Psalms, the 40th chapter, and encourage the hearts of the people so that you will move forward, because we believe in exhortation as well. Let's read Psalms 40.
Psalms 40 for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And he brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as a true aside to lie. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are the usework, they cannot be reckoned upon up in order until thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy love kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from them, O Lord. Let thy love kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For immeasurable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. There are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confound together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward, that their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek be rejoiced and be glad in thee. Let such a love thy salvation say continuously, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarry.
That Psalms 40 kind of helps us to tie in what we read in Ezekiel 2 about being a watchman and warning your brother. Ezekiel 7, the dark day of prophecy. But Psalms 40, wait patiently upon the Most High. All week, read Psalms 40 and meditate on that and let it help you out. But know that this ain't no joke, that we are in the thick of the transformation of society. And the Most High is getting ready to come with a battle axe. But you stay in Psalms 40, you stay in the law, you stay in taking care of your brothers and sisters. And that Psalms 40 kind of helps you to see how, if you remain in that vein, you might make it. I might make it. All these big-time preachers and camp leaders and all that, they're so arrogant like they've already made it. Don't fall for that. You work on yourself. You let the Ruach HaKodesh minister to you and keep you on the right path. You having a hard enough time dealing with just your own stuff, because after you turn off YouTube and the internet, you by yourself. After you leave the fellowship and we leave the Shabbat, you're pretty much by yourself. Keep yourself in check by keeping the commandments and keeping the laws. This has been Blueprint for Life. I am Elder B, and as it always saying, that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. Kwame Yashala. I love you. Appreciate you. May the Most High keep you and bless you. Until next time.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Move ya with your gun.